Happy Monday, September the 30th, 2019. It's Grow Great, the podcast. This is episode 326. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host here. The website is growgreat.com. Today's episode is brought to you by The Peer Advantage. It's about making decisions. You know that's what it's about. Your business ownership, your business leadership, it is about making decisions, preferably making good decisions. You want to know how to leverage the power of others to help you do that? Check out thepeeradvantage.com. Today, let's talk about understanding how people buy. This will be part one. Not sure how many parts we'll take to do this, but let's dive in. Salespeople tend to think features are going to make the difference, right? I mean, if only their product or their service included something that it doesn't yet have. If that would happen, then their sales success, it would be great, be spectacular. Customers want fill in the blank. Salespeople will talk about something specific that is missing from their current offer. Disruption, it's the order of the day, and it's not new, but it's here to stay because everywhere we look, there are problems. Everywhere we look, there are entrepreneurs who are working to figure out a better way. Many of them are attacking problems in industries where they don't have any prior experience. And it has happened in the limo taxi business. It's happened in the mattress industry. It has happened in the hotel motel industry. It's happened at retail. It has happened in computer hardware. It's happened in music distribution. On and on it goes. Just about every industry you can name has experienced some disruption. And if it hasn't happened yet, it will. And for good reason. Because every industry can be improved. Every business can be improved. Any of us with sales background have to realize that we have been conditioned over time. We've all been conditioned. The winners are those with the best feature set. I mean, that's what we believe, right? No, it's not true. It's never been true. It's never been the universal truth that we think it is, which can explain why achieving success can become more difficult over time. All of the preconceived ideas focus us on what we don't have, convincing us that if only we had that, well, that'd make all the difference in the world. No, it wouldn't, because we don't understand how people really buy. Instead, we're able to point to the economy. We point to industry challenges and a host of other things that really don't have anything to do with our current failure. Society is largely driven by creating fear and hysteria. We are all easily influenced to think that things are far worse than they really are. The sky's falling, the sky's falling. The minute a child goes missing, moms in the area tighten the rein on their kids, believing that the streets are just filled with bad people who are going around abducting kids. Pessimism is easy. Fear, well, that's even easier. But I'm talking about something tangible. I'm not urging you to just be optimistic, although that would help. Each of us is conditioned by our experiences. And all of this conditioning affects our consumer behavior. We lean toward our conditioning, and it can be very difficult to break. That's why we commonly find people dug into a position, and they're unwilling, they're unable to even consider an alternative viewpoint, an alternative opinion. Our experiences, coupled with all the media exposure that's bombarding us every day, deepen that conditioning. That's why attention is so urgent for marketers. And it's also why it is so ridiculously difficult to achieve. We're roaming about on autopilot much of the time until something extraordinary grabs our attention. Beliefs, prejudices, experiences, perceptions, these are all the things that create our autopilot behaviors and our choices. Now, when I was growing up, my dad was a General Motors guy. We always had a General Motors car in the driveway or the garage. Usually it was either a Pontiac or a Chevy. Sometimes a neighbor would be a Ford person. Maybe there'd be a Chrysler person every now and again. I grew up wondering why some people were devoted to brands over style. I mean, as a kid, you know, man, I would have opted for that cool, that best looking car. Here I am an adult, and I have largely been loyal to four-cylinder sporty cars. Now, I do have a preference for Honda Acura cars, but my last three cars have been an Acura Integra Type R, a Subaru WRX STI, and a Mazda Speed 3. My loyalty doesn't fall along brand lines as much as it falls along a performance factor that I'm looking for, a fun factor. But my buying preferences aren't much different than my dad's loyalty to GM, especially if somebody kind of knows what they are, and I've just told you. In our efforts to persuade or sell our goods and our services, we are challenged by all of this conditioning. Proof of our autopilot behavior is found anytime that you get behind the wheel of a car and you drive to a common destination, but you don't fully remember the entire drive because you weren't paying close enough attention to remember every turn, every landmark along the way. You've seen these things a million times before. You were just blind to most of the things around you. It's also why you can also make that same drive and you can notice something that has been there all along, but it's like, well, when did they build that? Oh, well, they built that 2 years ago. You're just now noticing it. That's how much of our life is lived, because we endure all of the media messages that are designed to sell us something, and after a while, it just turns into so much noise, and we get blind to it. Prospects behave the same way. They hear your marketing, they hear your sales messages, and largely, they just ignore it. They don't even notice it. And if or when they do notice, they may lack the subtle details, but it doesn't matter because they're going to fill in those gaps. They're going to fill in the gaps of what they don't know with what they do know or what they think they know. And their opinions are likely going to be based on tons of stuff that they have heard over and over and over and over again, true or not, valid or not. You know, generic brands, I don't know if generic brands have ever been as popular as they are today, yet there are likely some things that you purchase out of habit. I don't know. Maybe it's Kleenex brand tissues. Maybe it's French's mustard. Maybe it's Heinz ketchup. You buy these things, you don't think anything about it because you've always bought those things. And changing your mind, it's almost impossible. The other problem we all face is the belief that we are right. I mean, who doesn't think they're right? We all think we're right. Logically, we know that's not possible. And yet we act based on what we believe. But much of what we believe could be wrong. Hard to show somebody where they're wrong because we are all willing to fight really hard based on what we believe. Awareness. Awareness is the key. We need prospects to be aware of how they're feeling, of what they're believing, and of their experiences. And that presents one key to persuasion. Creating a relationship, creating rapport with our prospects. All this yelling back and forth, it's not doing one thing. Nobody ever influenced, nobody ever persuaded somebody by attacking them, by calling them names. Telling people they're wrong, that isn't likely going to do the job either. Attacking the competition, well, that absolutely won't work. My wife and I had just purchased a house. We were young, and we were young parents, and we were shopping for a sofa and some other furniture. So we went to this large furniture store that advertised constantly, and it was an enormous three-level gig. We were frugal shoppers, and we went to get ideas so we could just kind of think through, what do we want? Well, the salesman, he shells us around. And when he saw that we weren't going to open up our wallets on the spot, he asked where else we were going to shop. I was in running retail companies, and I knew this guy, he's a colossal failure, but I was polite. And I told him we didn't know where we were going to go, that mostly we were just out and about getting ideas. And I had told him that when he first greeted us, by the way. Well, he blurts out, well, are you going to go to, and he mentions the name of some store that I had never heard of. And I told him, I don't know where we're going to go. And I thanked him for his help, and we walked out. You know what I did as soon as we walked out of the store, don't you? Yeah, that's right. I found out where that store was that he named, the store I'd never heard of. And guess where we went? Yeah, we went directly there. I mean, I figure a store that he mentions, he's got to consider that his arch rival. Idiot. Never mention a competitor, ever. And don't get sucked into saying anything about a competitor. Here's the message. Create and foster curiosity. That's how our autopilot gets broken. Do this by helping your prospects connect their existing thoughts, their existing beliefs, to new ideas. We'll continue this idea in the next show on Wednesday. For now, I want you to stop contributing to the noise, thinking that if you just yell your message louder and you yell your message longer, eventually it'll work. No, it won't. You're just going to waste your money and your time and your prospects' time. Instead, dive into what you're saying and how you're saying it. Dive into what your team members are saying and how they are saying it. Today's takeaway is to devote yourself more fully to create a friendly, comfortable environment where prospects don't feel threatened to forsake their current beliefs. Be well, do good, grow great. The website is growgreat.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. Lord willing, I will see you on Wednesday, and we'll continue this idea.